may be seated. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. They had just laid Jesus down on the hard wood of the cross. The Roman guard placed a large nail on his palm and drove the hammer down. He could feel it piercing his skin, shattering the bones in his hand like splinters, and finally come out the other side and into the wood. The pain was incredible. He found himself crying out in agony. They proceeded to do the other hand and both his feet. He tried to block out the pain, but it was nearly impossible. His back was on fire. His skin was torn and the wounds still fresh from the flogging he had received upon Pilate's orders. Now the raw wounds were pressed up against the hard wood of the cross. As I hoisted the cross aloft and placed it in the ground, he felt the weight of his body drag him into a slump on the cross. Hanging there, his upper body slumped, his lungs compressed. He couldn't catch a breath. He found he could raise himself up by pushing against the wooden board against which his feet lay, and by using his arms stuck there to the cross as leverage. He could hold himself up long enough to breathe. But it required effort and sent pain coursing through his body even more so than before. But he had to do it in order to breathe. So he continued to raise himself up and let himself sag. The effort drained any remaining energy he had. As he looked around, he saw his friends, the two Marys. Then he saw his mother and his beloved disciple John standing there. He had to take care of his mother. He had to make sure she was all right. He could only imagine her pain and anguish. He said to her, "Woman, here is your son," indicating his beloved disciple. And he said to John, "Here is your mother." He knew they would care for one another and comfort each other in the ensuing days. He realized suddenly he was so thirsty. His throat was so dry, he couldn't even swallow. He asked for a drink, so they hoisted a branch with a sponge with sour wine up to him to drink. He knew his time was done and said, "It is finished." No longer able to keep lifting himself up for another breath, he breathed his last. The crucifixion. When we enter into the details of the story with Jesus, it is horrifying. If any of you have seen Mel Gibson's interpretation of the Passion narrative in the movie The Passion of the Christ, you know exactly how gruesome, painful, and awful it just might have been. And I've heard people wonder, why this awful suffering? Why was this necessary? Why did Jesus have to go through this, so much violence, so much blood and pain and anguish? Wasn't there some other way? Here in the 21st century, our lives are pretty sanitized. We don't have to come across much blood or death or pain or suffering if we don't really want to. For example, when we buy meat, we buy it nicely cut and packaged at the grocery store. We don't know anything about the animal or how it was treated and killed or how it was processed. We don't have to see any of the gore. That isn't necessary now. Or another example of our sanitized life is when we go to the hospital to deliver a baby. We don't have to feel any of the pain associated with that process. Thank goodness. We don't even really have to see any of the blood or messiness of it all if we don't really want to. It's all taken care of. It's all pretty sanitized. Even a minor, more minor example of when we send our children out to play, we go to great lengths to make sure they won't get scratched or scraped or sunburned. We make sure they have helmets and sunscreen and have super safe equipment to play on, and I'm all for that. But it's very sanitized. I just read an article about playgrounds now. They're so safe that they're not really teaching our children lessons about life and hard knocks and bruises. So it makes sense that we do want to find some other way in our sanitized world other than that blood-soaked, pain-filled, gruesome way of the cross for Jesus to take. I know I never want to see or need to see the movie The Passion of Christ again for this reason. I also never want to see Saving Private Ryan, the World War II movie, especially that scene of soldiers as they're invading Normandy on the beach and bullets and all kinds of weapons are coming and just destroying bodies of these soldiers left and right during World War II. Violent, gruesome deaths. Another on my list of never again see movies is Schindler's List. The absolute horror of the concentration camps and the inhumane treatment of the Jews makes my stomach churn just thinking about it. These movies are too raw, too violent, too horrible for me to want to ever see them again. Because they speak of the darkest side of our human nature. They display what we are capable of when we do look into the deepest, darkest places of our hearts. At some level, we know, even if deeply buried by our culture, our money, our values, our Christianity, our fine upbringing, at some very base level, we are capable of the very same atrocities committed in these movies, committed in our gospel lesson today. Maybe that's why I don't want to ever see them again or hear about the horrors of the cross. I don't want to be reminded what we actually are capable of. And I also don't want to be reminded of the suffering we humans face, because if we aren't causing each other suffering, there are still plenty of other things out there to cause our suffering, like disease and natural disaster, as we're too familiar with these days, economic woes, greed, injustice, and certainly death. The reality is, though, that try as I might to keep the suffering at bay by not going to see those movies, it's going to happen. We all experience suffering at some point. We all suffer heartbreak, whether the kind caused by young love turned sour, or the kind caused when children leave home to make lives of their own. We will all suffer health issues, whether it be the way too early onset of cancer or simply the natural process of aging. Some of us will suffer at the hands of others more directly, whether it be abuse suffered from parent to child, or it just might be the unjust treatment by our employer. And we certainly will all and may have already suffered the loss of a loved one, whether that be the too early death of a parent or child or sibling. We will experience it. Try as we might, we cannot avoid suffering. Try as we might, we cannot deny either that there are people in this world suffering perhaps even greater atrocities than us, like the people of Somalia who are suffering famine, or the people of Iraq who've been suffering for years from a war waged on their soil. We can't escape it. Suffering is here, whether upon us or those we love or those across the globe. You and I, we need a God who understands this suffering. We need a God who understands the blood and guts, the hate and the wrongs, the injustice, the pain, the anguish, and the suffering. We need a God who gets what we're going through. And thank God, that's exactly what we've got. We've got a God who suffered on the cross. We've got a God who doesn't disappear when tragedy strikes. No, God is right there suffering with us. We've got a God who shows up when our child has died. We've got a God who shows up when the diagnosis is cancer. We've got a God who shows up when our marriage is ending in divorce. We've got a God who shows up when we've lost our job and have nowhere else to turn. We've got a God who shows up when we are abused, neglected, hurt, bleeding, dying, suffering. Yes. Yes, we've got that kind of God, and we know we've got that kind of a God because Jesus died on the cross. And we can trust that kind of a God. We can trust that kind of a God because this kind of a God shows up not only in the midst of our darkest hour, but this God shows up here in this place. This God shows up every moment of our lives, if our eyes are open to it. This God shows up in the gruesome promise of his body and blood for us right here at this table. And we eat and we consume this God, knowing that though we suffer in this life, we have nothing, nothing to fear, because he is with us and in us. And with this God on our side, nothing can keep us down for long. Amen.